This episode of the Beauty Industry Podcast was brought to you by Murad Skincare Australia. Hello and welcome to the Beauty Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, founding director of Beauty Industry, Tamara Reid. Here, we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauty Industry. Today we are shaking up our podcast a little by sharing with you the recently facilitated Australian Beauty Expo 2021 online education sessions. In today's conversation, you'll join the panel of beauty experts including Gay Wardle, Sarah Hudson, Sharon Blaine, myself and MC Jazz Pampling as we cover the essence of being a boss in your business. But what does that truly mean? What challenges have our panelists had to overcome in order to reach and maintain their success? And what would they do differently now if given the opportunity? A conversation of challenges, heights, success, and everything in between, seated with invaluable advice only these women can share through their lived experiences. Here are the ladies.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to day one of Beauty Expo Australia Online. Thank you for taking the time out to join us this morning. My name is Flynn Roberts and I'm the recently appointed event director for Beauty Expo Australia. In the spirit of reconciliation, I'd like to first start by acknowledging the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who may be joining us here today also. As I mentioned, I joined the team here on Beauty Expo Australia at the start of the year after what has been a very tough 2020 for everyone, especially as we have not been able to connect with you, our community, in person for well over 18 months now. However, the team and I here at Beauty Expo are very excited to be working towards our next physical event at the ICC Sydney on the 28th to the 29th of August, and we hope that you are too. It's already shaping up to be one of our best yet, with plenty of exciting new content, brands, and features which we will be unveiling shortly, so stay tuned for more information. In the meantime, we have the great pleasure of keeping you all connected with Beauty Expo Online this week. Apart from these live panel sessions, over on the Beauty Expo Australia website, you'll be able to connect with over 100 leading brands with some amazing special offers, brand training videos, and product demonstrations, as well as more education with our on-demand videos, which you can watch at any time that suits you. So let's kick things off with our very first live panel today, with a very timely topic off the back of International Women's Day earlier this month: elevating women in business. I'm going to hand over now to our MC for today's session, the wonderful Jazz Pampling, Sydney-based eyebrow artist and educator who, apart from being a strong, empowered and entrepreneurial woman redefining the brow industry, she's also worked with many amazing and inspiring women, including Paula Abdul, Naomi Watts, Jessica Malboy, Samantha Harris and Natasha Belling, just to name a few. And I know she's been busy on the socials asking our community for their questions for the panel. So I'm really excited to see what insights she uncovers today. So thanks, Jazz. Over to you.
Hello. Hello. Hi, Flynn. Thanks for that. I really appreciate it. I guess I'll just get started, shall I?
Take it away.
Thanks. Okay, awesome. Here we go. Welcome, everyone who is watching out there in Zoom land. My name is Jazz Pampling, as Flynn just told you, and I am an eyebrow artist. It's what I've specialized in for 10 years now. And When I'm not doing eyebrows, I'm educating. And when I'm not educating, I'm doing fun stuff like this. And so thank you for joining us today. Elevating women in business. We kind of sat down, the group of us, and we're like, what does that look like? And what can we talk about? And so the legends that I have with me today, they are just a wealth of information. And I'm just going to get right into introducing them because they are just the most exciting women. Just quickly, if you have questions, shoot them through in the Q&A section of your Zoom, somewhere down there, or there, or there, or there. And we will do our best to get through all of those fabulous questions. And in the meantime, I'm going to introduce some fab ladies. So our next speaker is an entrepreneur, community creator. In 2012, she worked and traveled on board Steiner cruise ships. This is like a game show. Can you guess who I'm talking about? She was an educator with Australia's largest day spa franchise, Endota Spas. In 2017, was the youngest BDM to look after 5 states across Australia and New Zealand for Laser Clinics Australia and Skinstitute. And in 2018, founded Beauté Industry, Australia's first online support community, who I've also done a podcast with, and it was the best. That podcast reaches over 150,000 ears, people. It is absolutely crazy. Her inclusive mentoring and education platform for the professional beauty industry is Club Beauté, and you can follow her online on socials and all the places. It is, of course, wait for it, people, Tamara Reid. Hey, are you there, Tamara?
Oh, Jazz, thank you so much. What an introduction.
Might need to bring it down a notch tomorrow. I'm a little bit too excited.
No, we need that energy for a Monday morning. I love it.
Monday raining water. Hey, I'm so excited that you're on board. Shall I keep introducing the next person, or would you like to add something to our conversation before I do?
Oh, just thank you so much for the beautiful introduction. Thank you so much to Beauty Expo for continuing on and going virtual. You know, it's not easy, but the team have just done an incredible job, and I'm so thrilled and humbled to be speaking on the panel today.
Okay. I'm so excited to have you here, because I remember when we did the podcast and you asked me to be a guest, I was so nervous. I'm still nervous now. And speaking with you, you are a wealth of information. So I can't wait for everyone to hear what exists inside your mind.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, next person, next speaker. If you don't know who this person is, you've been living under a rock. I'm sorry, but you have. Here we go. She is one of the most acclaimed hairdressers and educators in our world today. For more than 5 decades, she has been toiling her craft, perfecting her skills, and sharing her unrivaled knowledge with thousands of hairdressers from all corners of the globe at workshops, seminars, online, and at her highly acclaimed boot camps, which I have witnessed myself. She has won Hair Expo's Educator of the Year 4 times, which has never been done. And she has been an Australian Hall of Fame recipient 2 times, because apparently once wasn't enough. She has a huge list of awards: 2 times inductee Hall of Fame, Hair Expo Australia 5 times Educator of the Year, Hair Expo 3 times Educator Business of the Year, Hair Expo Australia 2 times Business Performance of the Year, Boot Camp. There's just not enough time. But without further ado, may I introduce to you the amazing Sharon Blaine. Hey.
Hey, Jazz. How are you?
I'm good. The applause is legit.
It's a great applause.
Thank you. So excited to have you here. I've enjoyed many conversations with you over the years. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me, because it's not my area of expertise being beauty, but I do think we cross over so significantly that I'm sure what I've got to share would be quite relevant for all the beauty people watching today as well.
I absolutely think everything you have to share will be epic. Notes, people, notes, paper and pen. Write it down. Okay, our next speaker. So she's a businesswoman, she's a coach, she's a mentor and an internationally recognized speaker and educator. In 2015, she was awarded Educator of the Year at the Australian Beauty Awards. Her passion is skin and analysis, and she drives this agenda both nationally and internationally. Through her dedication and commitment to learning and teaching others, she has established herself as one of the most respected icons in our skin and beauty industry. Her work as an educator practitioner was celebrated in 2014 when she was inducted into both the Abia Hall of Fame and the Reed Exhibition Hall of Fame. Please welcome Gay Wardell. Gay?
Thank you, Jazz. Wow, thank you. That was amazing, that introduction. I feel 10 times taller now.
You should be this big, absolutely. You can't fit in the screen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. And I'm just moving because it's a little background noise here. So I'm sorry. I want to thank you.
Oh, Gay, your connection's down. Gay's on holiday, everyone, guy, like up in like somewhere sunny, which is literally where no one else is. And hopefully Gay's connection. Gay, your connection is back.
Okay, I'm just going to mute myself for a second just to quieten down the background noise.
Go for it. You mute. I'm going to introduce our next and final speaker, who is just the most divine human. So here we go. All right. She is a skin expert and practitioner with over 25 years industry experience, business owner of Skin By, I can't tell you the name yet. She is frequently invited to share her knowledge at industry events, work groups, seminars, and panels. She has regularly been featured in media publications such as Mamma Mia, Women's Health, Men's Health, Body. You feeling the trend of what's happening here? All right. The next speaker and our final speaker is the fabulous Sarah Hudson.
Woo! Hi, Jazz. You introduce an MC like no other, I have to say.
Look, got to bring the energy. It's 9:30 in the morning. It's rainy. People are sleepy. It's got to be a whole thing. But thanks for putting up with me also, like, and my crazy. I appreciate that. Okay, ladies, I think we should get into it. So everyone watching today, please don't forget you are welcome to ask us questions. We will do our best to answer them as we go by. We have a lot to get through. Women in business, what a timely subject to be discussing. There's a lot happening in the world. How can we contribute to those who are watching today? Well, we can give you all the advice and the lessons and things that have come our way, and hopefully you can take some of that experience and pull it into your own world and create your own amazing business. So the ladies I have in front of me are a wealth of knowledge, and I want everyone watching to be able to get inside their head, have a party, and walk away with like a hangover of education, right? I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but bear with me. All right, ladies, I don't know who to start with because you're all so fabulous. Maybe Tamara. Tamara. Getting in there. What does it look like to actually run your own business, do you think?
It looks a little crazy. In fact, it looks a lot crazy. There are so many hats, and I think this is one of the things that people probably don't realize. You know, you look at a business owner, particularly in salon or in clinic, and sometimes you may see them flit in and out of the business and have a coffee with a rep or come in and, you know, have a quick meeting with an educator. And you think, that's an easy job. That's a really easy job. I could probably do that myself, if not better. And then you get there and realize that you're doing handstands every day and you're awake at 3 a.m. in the morning stressing about things you had no idea even existed. So it is a little bit crazy, but it's certainly definitely rewarding once you kind of slow it all down, find, if I can say the word which I haven't found yet, balance. But if you can kind of relax everything, find your little niche, you will just absolutely love it. But it is certainly tricky, but well worth it, I could say.
I definitely agree with you. I think I started working for myself maybe 9 years ago, and I remember thinking, I can do this on my own and earn so much money. I'm going to be so fabulous. and really never contemplated holiday pay and sick pay and superannuation. And I'm the accountant, I'm the cleaner, I'm my marketing person, I'm the employer and the employee. And I often just go, oh my gosh, what have I taken on here? Sharon, what do you think it looks like? Like, what does being your own boss look like for you? Is it something similar?
Oh, very much and more. In my days of running the Art of Hair, we had 46 people come to work every week in one location. And when I say not paying, we did have people who subleased my premises to do beauty. It was absolutely overwhelming. And I think as a mum of three kids, it was particularly difficult. And I was working on the floor full time as well. I was also finding that, I'm not an expert on everything. And the one thing that I did learn very early is to surround yourself with experts within your business. So if you aren't great at social media, find someone that can do that. If you're not great at paying the wages, get a wage company. You know, they all cost money, but I think when you're trying to develop a business, keep things running smoothly, I mean, you're the captain of the ship. And I think it's super important to be the captain at all times and not diverse yourself into areas that you're struggling with. So I did find by surrounding myself with people who knew more than me was a real key to the success of what I created.
Ooh, good. Surrounding yourself with good people. I feel like, oh, just quickly, guys, if you're watching, I would love you to answer our first poll. Would you be a business owner over again if you had to do it all over again? I've said over twice, but you know what I mean. Would you do it again out of interest? I believe that question should have just gone up if you're watching. Support. Like, I think it's taken me years to find an accountant that I got along with, a bookkeeper that I got along with, a lawyer. Like, these are not like, oh, hey, I'm just going to talk to my lawyer. Like, these are not things I ever considered needing or even know how to find. So that's been quite challenging, is finding the right people and sort of chewing through a few before I got to the ones I needed. Gay, how about yourself? What does being a business owner look like to you?
I think, I totally agree with Sharon. Like, when we go into business, we think we're invincible, we think we can do it all. And I think, very short into the term of having a business, you realise that you just can't. And I think, what Sharon said is the icing on the cake. You have to surround yourself with excellent people, and you've got to be able to let go of things and give jobs to people that can do it better than you. We can't do everything amazing. And I think there's a lot of, we really have to understand that. There's a lot of work that goes into growing your business. And some of the key traits that we have to have is endurance. We have to have endurance. We have to have passion and persistence. And we also need to know why. Why are we going into business? And I think that's a big thing that we need to sit down and ask ourselves. Why are we doing this? What do I want from it? And if you want to go into business to give yourself, so that you can have freedom, well, you can kind of forget that. That word freedom for a while, because there isn't any freedom. It's a commitment that you have to be on board, that you can't just let go, and that goes on and it doesn't stop until you actually either sell the business or for whatever reason get out of it. So I think, and for me, it's making sure that I have the employees that I employ have the right dream, that the same dream that I want, and the same direction that I want. And I think that's so important. And also those key people, lawyers, accountants, business coaches, like, we need to have people that help us. We need to have strategists that actually help us analyze our business. And also social media. Like, I'm the worst when it comes to IT. So, you have to source that out and find people that can do it amazing, and don't think that you have to do it all. So, and I think it's just a baby that you take on board, and you have to cuddle it forever and a day until you walk out.
Cuddle it hard. I really want to. What did you just say before? I want to reiterate that. You need to. Why are you doing it? Is that was that?
Absolutely.
Why?
Why? What's your why? What's your reason? Mm. You're like, And I often ask people, why did you go into business? And one of the reasons is, you know, like, I just wanted my freedom. Freedom was a big word that came across. I'm thinking, oh my God, that's the wrong reason, because there is no freedom. Mm. You know, like, you know, or I want to, you know, like, yeah, just I think, and why? What is your reason for doing it? What are your values and things like that? That I think we're getting asked that a little bit later on. I can talk about that, but really understanding why. What are you doing?
Yeah. Sarah, how about your fabulous self? What does being a business owner look like to you?
I just looking at some of the questions that we were talking about the other day, I think there is very little work-life balance. And I think that's the reality of being a true business owner, because you are wearing so many hats. And Gay, this is definitely to you, because I'm absolutely in awe. You're away for a week with your family and you're speaking on the panel Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. And I think that really just sums it up, being a business owner, is that it doesn't actually stop. It's often 7 days a week. Like you said, Tamara, you're awake at 3 a.m. in the morning, you're thinking about it. And I think that that is the reality of having a very successful business, is there is a minimal amount of work-life balance. But in saying that, it also does give you the flexibility as well. And for many of us, we're mums, we've worked, we've had successful businesses. And I think that's just such a wonderful aspect of the industry also. And coming back to what you were saying before, is I think being part of those communities is really, really important, because in order to have a good social media person, an accountant, a lawyer, you need to speak to like-minded people. And the only way of doing that is to really be in those tribes and to be part of those communities. And so listening to Tamara's podcasts and being part of those communities is really, really key to understanding your own business growth. And also being on today is as well, as actually learning from experts, taking that away from you and then implementing that back into your business.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. I love your podcast, Tamara. It's fab. There's so much great info on there. What's the name of your podcast and where can we find it?
Oh, super original. It's just Beauty Industry Podcast, just following the business name. But it's on 13 different platforms, so you can listen to it for free anytime, anywhere. And that's the beauty of it, as you said. I think you've all touched base on it actually just then in your answers, is that when you're a business owner, you can't think that you know everything. There's always room to improve. And that's really what we chat about, is that, you know, there's a learning experience in every single day. And I think the day that you wake up and you think you know everything is probably not a good day. So maybe go back to bed.
Agreed. The day you think you know everything, your business will just go like this, I think. Ladies, feel free to pipe up whoever wants to answer this first. You should get buzzers. How long did it take for you all to feel like you hit your stride? This was a question that came from the Instagram questions I put up a couple of days ago on my account. Any thoughts? I've kind of put you all on the spot. I apologize.
Yeah, I'll answer that first. I started my business originally 12 years ago as more of a multi-service beauty business, and I never really felt like I was comfortable in the business. I always knew that there was something more that I needed to specialize in. So it wasn't until I actually changed the concept of the business and became a very niche skin only business and implemented aesthetic treatments and a more aesthetic look to the business, that's when I really found my stride. So I think it was having an underlying aspect of what I wanted to be and who I wanted to be. That's when I actually went forward into that.
How long in, sorry, was that? How many years?
4 years. It was 4 years in.
Ah, okay, super interesting. Anyone else?
Can I answer that as well? I decided that I wanted to have a lot of salons. So I originally set out with one very small salon, which grew extremely fast, and then went on to own three in total. And I thought I was absolutely, you know, infallible. But the one thing I realized, that you can't run three successful businesses. Everything was fine. Whatever I focused on was okay, but what I couldn't focus on tended to not be so okay. I think I hit my stride when I decided to unravel the three salons, get rid of them, and just go into one super large salon. that I could manage, control, and be there 7 days a week to keep my finger on that. And I realized very quickly, so when you are thinking of franchising out or having multiple locations, it is that, to me, it was a recipe for disaster. It was impossible to manage the staff, the clients, and everything that went along with that. But one large salon worked for me. And once I got my very large salon in Beecroft, it was pretty much full speed ahead till I decided that I pretty much was over that now and I needed to look for the new next thing.
Oh, my God, that's fascinating, Sharon, because I feel like so many people I know in the beauty hair industry are like, I can see them envisioning like 2 and 3 salons all around. Just quickly, though, out of interest, how many staff are in each of those 3 salons?
I think they range from anywhere in the smaller salons, maybe about 7 to one that I had about 13. And then when I took on the smaller salon in Beecroft, I think we ended up with 12 and then basically combined them into one rather large location.
Fascinating. That's so interesting. I've never heard anyone say that. I really like that. Tamara or Gay?
Go for it, Gay. Tamara? No, you go.
Okay. So, yeah, for me, like I have had multiple businesses over the years and over lessons. So I think that's one thing in business is that you have to learn your lessons and you have to accept those lessons for whatever they are and you have to grow from that. I think if we don't look at the mistakes that we've made, you'll continue to make those mistakes. So I think it's important that when we make a mistake that we actually think, how could I have done that better? Where did I go wrong? And be very analytic in what you do to actually try and not do the same mistake again. You know, I find that people in business seem to do the same thing over and over and over again. And that's when you don't have growth. And I think growth is learning from what we've done wrong, the mistakes that we've made. And I think that's really important. You know, for me, you know, when you have multiple, I agree with Sharon, when you have multiple salons, it's hard. It's really hard. So you're trying to organize staff in all of these clinics and making sure that everyone's getting the right training. And it's really quite difficult unless you have someone like Tamara that's overseeing the whole thing and managing that for you. But, you know, like if you're trying to do that, that's a hard task. So it's much easier when you condense it all and you just kind of manage a space that is manageable, basically, that you haven't got to go the distances to see all these different businesses. You know, it took me quite a few years, but then I've diversified in my businesses as well. I've done many different things. So when you look at the stats of business, it usually takes a good 4 to 5 years before you actually can say, wow, I've done something amazing here. But that's if you continue to learn from the mistakes that you've made.
I think it was 3 years before I had, sorry, Sarah.
Sorry.
It was 3 years before I had a solid client base that allowed me to step out of the 3 other jobs I had going just to make ends meet. And so many people come in and they're like, I'm just going to open this space. I'm like, if you don't have clients, like you have to be prepared to pay for that space for up to 3 years just on the money that you have yourself. And I even had someone recently who was looking to sort of share a space with someone else. I'm like, well, they've got heaps of clients, so I'll probably get lots of crossover. From experience, can I tell you, people don't naturally cross over just because you've got all the same services in one building. That takes time as well. It's a whole thing.
After the break, we'll be back with more from Beauty Expo 2021. Community, if you are looking to gain total skin wellness for your clients, then look no further. Murad's science-backed professional skincare treatments and solutions promote healthy, nourished, and beautiful skin. Murad's founder, Dr. Howard Murad, is recognized around the world as a leading visionary for his unmatched scientific innovations. A board-certified dermatologist, trained pharmacist and associate clinical professor of medicine, Dr. Murad has personally treated over 50,000 patients, so it's safe to say that he knows skin. For more than 30 years, Murad has been committed to developing clinically proven, cruelty-free products that meet the meticulous standards for safety, efficacy, and care you would expect from a doctor, Plus, they're supported by Dr. Murad's industry-first research for the most advanced formulas that don't just consider a symptom or a concern, but rather address total skin health. The team at Murad want to help you achieve yours and your client's skincare goals, and they're so kindly offering a free product pack to start you on your journey. That is right, you heard it here. It is free. All you have to do is email kbacon, that's K-B-A-C-O-N, at murad.com and mention the Beauté Industry Podcast to have your Murad skincare pack sent out to you. As a longtime lover of Murad myself, trust me, your clients and your skin will thank you.
I was just going to say to both Gay and also to Sharon, going from having multi locations of businesses, were you more profitable coming back into the one business and having more niche, more specialized business than what you were having multiple locations? Because I think that people think if I've got multiple locations, I'll be more successful or it'll have a more profitable business, but not necessarily so. And I just wanted to put that to both of you.
Do you want me to go first, Sharon?
Yes, go.
Yeah, so for me, there are benefits to having multiple salons. So you have a bigger buying power. You know, you have all of that gives you, I guess, bigger discounts if you're working with companies that allow that. So there are those benefits. Financially, I find no. Yeah, I think financially, if you condense it into one, because it is, there are so many more aspects that you've got to think about in running the business, and that's, where do you spend your time and how are you going to organise the training? Who's going to go to the training? You know, all of those things that actually have to, sorry, my little granddaughter's yapping down there. All those things that actually you have to consider when you actually go into multiple businesses. And I think it's really hard. And I think financially it is much better just to have one location. Look, there are people out there who have done amazing jobs with having multiple clinics. And they've been very, very successful. But I think it's, again, it's getting who is going to support you with that and surrounding yourself with those people to make sure that they are actually giving you the support that you need. Yeah,
I agree with you, Gay. I definitely found that one larger location a much more profitable concern. It was much more manageable. Obviously, I was able to manage the staff better. I was able to keep an eye on the customer service and make sure that, you know, everything was run in a very schmick, positive way. Whereas when you have multiples, they try to convince you that they are running exactly what you want, but I knew that wasn't the case. So I had much more control and a much more, just an overall more professional outfit.
Mm. Hey, Tamara, when did you feel like you hit your stride? And also individually to that, how long into having the podcast do you feel like it really became noticed?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a very honest answer. I don't think I've ever felt like I've hit my stride, to be honest, in any business, because you hit a problem and you learn how to solve it. You learn how to overcome it. And then you put that in your bank and you go, okay, when I face that problem again, I know how to overcome it. But chances are the next problem you have is a brand new problem. And then you go, oh my goodness, I don't have that in my bank. I've got to figure this one out, right? So I feel confident in my business, I will say that. And I feel at ease with the businesses that I have run in the past and the one that I'm running now. But I don't feel like I've ever got all the ducks in a row or all the eggs in a basket. You know, I feel like it's always a juggling act constantly. And to answer your question about the podcast, this is a thing that nobody sees. You know, when you hear in the bios, done this one, I won this one, had this many listens or whatever that shall be, you hear that and you think success, right? So 150,000 downloads, international podcast sounds fantastic, but I was speaking and still am speaking in my office in my spare room, via Zoom. So, for many, many months, probably actually it was a good year. We didn't monetize the podcast at all. And there was very little traction. You know, we were hitting 10,000 and 20,000 and 30,000. And while it feels like a lot sometimes that can be a little bit disheartening. And I think that's where people go wrong in business, is that they see all of these other people reaching these milestones and hearing the fantastic bios that we've all heard this morning, but it's never an overnight success. You know, it's always that 15, 20, 30, 40 years in the making to get where, you know, these incredible ladies have today. So yeah, I mean, don't be disheartened by it. It's definitely definitely a fun ride, but I just want to give a little bit of reality and context in there.
Yeah, I love that. That's why I wanted to ask, because I think podcasts are so big at the moment. Everyone's like, I'm going to start a podcast. I'm like, the work that goes into starting a podcast, the sound issues, the technology, the editing, the blah, 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 blah.
Oh.
You don't just start a podcast. There's a whole thing. All right. All right, ladies. Sarah has a great question that she put forward on our meeting the other day. What challenges have you overcome to reach your success, and any steps you might have taken to get to your success? I'll start with you, Sarah. This is your question on the spot.
So for me, like I said, changing the business when I was 4 years in. So I was a multi-service beauty business with multiple amounts of staff. And as that evolved and changed, and also the industry changed as well, we were seeing all the technology come to life and amazing cosmeceutical ingredients. And I just had this real sort of urge in me to specialize purely in the skin. So I went from a very beauty looking business with gorgeous chandeliers and floral fonts into thinking this just isn't the space that I need to be in for my next transition. So I took the business. I actually took all of the floral aspects out of it. I completely changed the way the logo was put together, the look and the feel of the business. I actually then shared the space with a doctor and then started investing in aesthetic equipment. So I'd gone from a business that had waxing and eyebrow waxing and very niche skin treatments into saying, well, we're not going to provide any of that anymore. And now we're just going to do services. Now I'm just going to do skin services, and not only skin services, but laser treatments. So I'd cut almost my entire service menu out to just specializing in laser treatments. And so I'd had to say to my clients, well, this is the transition that we're actually going through. And so the faith that people actually put in me in looking after them and looking after their skin was huge. And I also backed myself and thought, I need to do this. I can do this. I did that through the education, and it turned out to be just such a great transition for me, and one that the clients are really grateful of today. And a lot of those clients I've actually seen for a period of 10 years or even 20 years as well. So it's been a great evolvement of their skin, and they're really grateful now because they actually look just as young as what they did now 10 years ago. And so for me, it was a really, really good move.
Oh, Gay, how about yourself? Has there been a challenge that you can think of off the top of your head that you've faced?
With business, I think for me, it's like getting the right staff, creating a team around you. You know, I think that's really important that we actually have, you know, and understanding what our business is. You know, I have four things that I need when I'm looking at my business, and one of them is purpose. You know, that's my reason, that's what I'm doing, and that doesn't change. That's going to be there all the time. I always go back to what my purpose was. Why did I do this? And the other one is core values. You know, we've got to have core values. They're fundamental beliefs of a person or an organization. I'm so sorry if this is a bit noisy. Tell me.
Okay. It's fine. Not so bad.
Yeah.
These are the guiding principles that dictate our behavior and can help us help our staff, our team, understand the difference between right and wrong. So core values is something that we use to determine if they are on the right path or if we are on the right path and fulfilling our goals to creating an unwavering guide to actually growing our business. And I think that's really important. The next is mission. The mission is what we do. You know, we've got to actually understand what that is. And then strategy. So we've got to have a plan. You know, I don't believe in big business plans. I don't believe in that because they wave, they change constantly. If you have a five-year business plan, you know, by the time you get to year two, that's changed tenfold. So I think having a business plan is really not the way to go, but we need to have a strategy on short-term goals. So for me, it's setting those short-term goals and having your values that will guide us to get to those goals, I think. But flexibility in value propositions, products and services that you build will help to execute your purpose. And that's vastly important. So I think those things are really important when we sit down and look at our business. And I didn't learn that until probably my third business, that those things were important. You know, I just would just get up and just go to work and go, oh my gosh, I hope this is going to work today. But then, you know, I sat down and I thought, we've got to have some kind of core values here. We've got to have some kind of strategy. And we've got to have a reason, a purpose, that why we're doing this. So then when I actually got my team together and we went through all of that, it made sense to all of them. And they had a direction. And I think that's one of the things that we have to have understand in business is that our team members need direction. They just can't come to work and have a target that they've got to achieve at the end of the day. You know, say you've got to do $2,000 or whatever it is by the end of the day. They've got to have a reason, a direction to get there. And I think that as a business owner, we have to provide that. And I think that's really important. And that's part of business challenging in your businesses, whatever it might be. And like Sarah, I was always a multi-purpose business as well. But I've changed that to go to completely something that I love doing, that I want to do, and that's basically be in the skin game. And that was another huge change that I had to, and challenge that I had to face as well. You know, you can't just wake up the next one day and go, I'm going to do this. You know, we have to work at plan and how are we going to do that? And that all comes down to those four things, purpose, core values, mission and strategy. And I work by that all the time.
That's awesome. Because people can see you as a mentor, can't they? They can contact you for business mentoring, Gay.
Yeah, I do. It's not business mentoring, so to speak. I'm not actually a business coach, but it's more in clinic mentoring. So, you know, treatment planning and programming and things like that. I don't think of myself as being able to help someone with business strategies, but definitely help them with how do you grow your business to be a clinic that's focused on skin or whatever it might be, a wax or whatever. I can help with those ideas to implement different treatment goals and things like that.
Okay.
Can I just say something?
Yeah, go.
Sorry, I just want to say, I just think that is really, really fundamental in any business, success is having a mentor that you can turn to have an outside look on your business, because I know that has been such a key success for me, is having different mentors at different times to really tell me the truth about what they saw from the outside in. So, you know, for anyone that really is unsure about the direction that they're heading, is to be able to speak to someone like Gay, I think is really, really key in moving forward with that success.
What if you can't afford a business coach? What are your options?
You have to.
Yeah. I was just going to say the same thing.
You have no choice.
Yeah.
Find one, get one, make it a thing.
Yeah.
Who hasn't answered this challenges question?
I'd like to respond to that. I actually found a business coach through the Small Business Association of New South Wales. They have a lot of different people that they recommend. And I had a guy, I would say I had him coaching me once a month for 3 to 4 years. And I would not have got to where I have got without him. I would never have had the confidence to invest in the massive space that I took over in Beecroft. It was a Franklin supermarket, which took 7 years to actually demolish and rebuild and fit, and massive amount of money that I borrowed to do that. And each month he would constantly reassure me that we were able to cover the bank debt, etc. But I think the challenges for me along the way in our industry, for me, is the personalities. We do have a very flamboyant lot of personalities in hairdressing. And for some reason, they all wanted to work for me. So I seemed to attract everybody who wanted to be a superstar. They saw that their little star would rise if they started to work with me. And they came in with attitude and ego. They also came in with a massive wish list of what they would or wouldn't do, whether they would cut kids' hair or not cut kids' hair, whether they would work on Saturdays, and that they only wanted X amount of dollars. And you know what? I actually succumbed to a lot of those whims because I really thought these people would be super for my business. But I think that after realizing that this isn't how you can control and run a professional outfit, I basically, anyone I interviewed moving forward after that came, that realization came to the fore, I actually used to think if you're thinking you're going to be a superstar in my business, there is only one and it's me. And unfortunately, we probably don't have a position for anyone else other than me here. So I then had a different style of people that I started to attract and was willing to employ. And it was a much more conducive staff, more team inspired. But when you have these identities and personalities taking over the show and being loud and out there and in your face, look, they're wonderful people and I love them very much today and they haven't changed. But it's not conducive to growing a business and a team of people that you need to have in your business because you're always having someone going rogue on you. And this is the biggest problem that you face. And I don't think it's that much different today in our industry.
Oh, that is a really good point. I did not think of that. Yeah. This is why I work for myself. hey, Tamara. I'm too loud. Hey, Tamara, have you answered this question or did I miss your answer?
No, I haven't, but I would love to. And look, the biggest challenge for me is a little bit different, but also a little bit similar in that I would always go home to my now husband and my dad, who are my two closest people. And I would chat about being a business owner or being on the road as a sales manager or being on the road as an educator. And chatting to two males who aren't in the industry, who are very much in the trade space, you can imagine what their response was when I said, well, Heidi can't come to work today because her turtles died. What am I going to do? And they would say things like, well, you need to fire her or, you know, that's just ridiculous. Of course, she's got to come to work. But as Sharon said, you know, these are people's personalities and this is what we're dealing with on a daily basis. It's all of these very different circumstances and ego and, you know, personal everything, you know, life that we are going through. So for me, that was the biggest challenge is going home and talking to people who didn't get it, didn't understand our industry. You know, you can't just fire somebody because we've got a staff shortage. You can't just not have somebody show up to work because you've got a fully booked appointment column. So getting that impractical advice for me was the hardest thing. And it, even speaking to friends who were, you know, maybe in an office role or an admin role, again, impractical advice. So that's selfishly where I grew Beauté Industry because I was like, I need my people. Where are all of these people? How are other people doing it? You know, when you've got a fully booked appointment day and a staff turns up sick because their turtle has died, what are you doing out there? I need to know these answers. And so that's where I found the love of people and the support of people coming together. But the people who actually get it, who are in our industry, that's where the magic happens. When you talk to people like all of these ladies here who have done it, who have learned the lessons, and then you can get that advice and then run with it. So that's kind of how I've overcome that challenge.
That's a good one. Yes. And then from that, you've grown a whole other portion of your business, which is amazing. Okay, we are like down to our last sort of 10, 15 minutes. This is just flying by, which is crazy. Tamara, you had a great question the other day that I want to put to everyone. And maybe, Tamara, do you want to kick off with the answer? Knowing what you know now, if tomorrow you woke up and started all over again, what would you do differently, even if it's just one key thing? Did I ask that correctly?
Perfect. Yes. The thing that I would do differently is to just stop being such a scatterbrain and to stop trying to do everything as Sarah and also Gay have touched on. You know, as business owners, we get this shiny object syndrome, which I call the Dory fish from Nemo, because we're like, who, what, where, you know, there's this new device, there's this new treatment. And we get so excited by all of the things that we just want everything in our business. And then we implement this fabulous new shiny device and it sits in the corner gathering dust because we're onto the next one before we can even unbox it, right? So if I could start again tomorrow in any business, I would just put my blinders on and I would just really stick with what I'm doing and get incredibly great at it and just be consistent in that. And that's something that I wish a lot more business owners would take on board. We can always introduce new things which are exciting. Yes, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, shut your doors to everything. But when you are more so consistent, and we see this in the most successful businesses, that's when you hit your stride.
Good. That is, I don't call it shiny syndrome. I call it ADOS. It's like attention deficit. Oh, shiny. Wander off.
Exactly.
Darren, how about yourself? If you could do it all again and you woke up tomorrow, what would you change?
Look, I'm probably, if I want to sort of keep my rose-colored glasses on, I probably don't think that too much would change. But I think if I went back into business today, because it has been about 3, maybe nearly 4 years since I actually got out of the hairdressing salons and transitioned immediately over to education, and then have now transitioned because of COVID to full-on education model, online education model. The one thing that I believe we did really well, but would even want to consider doing better, was respect the staff that we had and value the fact that they had a life outside the outside my salon walls. Now, let me just quickly give you a quick insight. I actually had childcare in my salon. So we offered a full-time childcare facility. Well, when I say full-time, Monday to Friday, where any staff member that had a baby was allowed to bring their baby into childcare. So they booked their kids into childcare on the days that suited them. We had two childcarers that were actually, approved childcarers that looked after the kids. When I listen today to the issues that young hairdressers have, and I'm sure it is no different to what beauty therapists have as well, they're trying to balance their children, the work, getting enough money, and trying to be available for their kids and their life and everything. I think there's got to be a way of looking at how can we do that better to get great people in to work for us, because there's a massive shortage in hairdressing. I'm sure it's not, I don't know if it's as great for you guys, but it is massive, massive for us. And I think the biggest problem is at the moment, women who are so possibly the best employees you could have are actually doing backyard hairdressing because it doesn't, the salon life isn't fitting with their family. And if there's a way to change that and make a better life balance for them, that you can bring them into your business, reward them financially as well as they would if they were at home, to give them a great sort of, and respect the fact that they do have to run off and pick their kids up, or they do have to be on the soccer field on Saturday mornings, respect and manage how that works for them, I believe we would be a better industry just based on those, that alone.
Oh, that's a good point. That got my brain ticking over. How about yourself, Sarah?
Sorry, I was listening to everybody else and I wasn't thinking myself. Can you just give me one more second about that?
Okay. Is there, if you woke up tomorrow and you had to start again, is there, Sarah's cut. That's it. You're right. Done. Gay, what would you change if there's one thing?
Look, if there was one thing that I'd change, I'm grateful for the lessons that I've learned. So because I've taken those lessons on board and I've learned from those, I've always done things better and bigger the next time. So, you know, I would not change that because I don't think we could grow without that, like I said earlier on. But the one thing that I probably do better now than what I have ever done, and that's look at my potential employees. So when I'm interviewing people, you know, I look for different skill sets in them. You know, I don't care if they're not the best therapist in the world, but to me, they have to have dedication, ambition, and a really healthy attitude. And they also have to have a strong commitment to represent the industry really well. And that commitment is what they, you know, what is their purpose? What is their reason for wanting to be in that industry? And I go back to those four things that I talked about earlier, purpose, core values, you know, and understanding what our strategy is, that are really important, that I actually ask them that in an interview. And I would really, I'm really inspired when they say to me that one day they want to have their own business. That really inspires me because I think, you know, I want to have people like Sharon said and everyone else has said earlier on, I want to have incredible people around me. And I can't have incredible people around me if they just want to come to work every day and do their job, the same thing every day. So I want people around me that go, hey, yeah, in 5 years or 10 years, I want to be like you. I want to have a business. And that to me is giving the growth within my business. So I encourage them to kind of develop a business within my business. And that's what I do differently now is I work more strategically with my staff. I've always been encouraging and I've always helped them. But I think I've, you know, as you get older and you've made these mistakes, you learn to deal with things differently. And that would be my one thing is just making sure that I have three people that are incredible that want to do amazing things rather than three people that just want to come to work and have a job.
That I really love your approach to that, Gay. I feel like there needs to be a new standard set within the industry around employees leaving and staying. I think so many employers are so worried about losing their staff and it just creates this really negative and toxic behavior. And they leave and they badmouth them. And look, I get it. Staff are not always great when they leave. It goes both ways. But as industry leaders, as salon owners, we need to set the bar for what it looks like when our staff leave because they're going to leave. You can't stop them. And having someone who is as passionate as what you're saying, I think is super important. Okay, Sarah, how'd you go? Did you come back to
I was actually taking so many notes on what everybody else said. I completely forgot that I would be answering the question. So I think for me, I actually wouldn't change very much because every single aspect that I've had on my career has taken me to the next level and also to the next step. And it's not just about mistakes that I've made, but it's about understanding who I am and who I want to be and also where I'm going to in my next phase. So there is really not that much different that I would actually do. And I'm just really proud that we work in such an amazing industry that crosses over so many different aspects from skin to education to knowledge for me with the editorial as well. So I think it is such a diverse industry that, and there are so many different parts of this industry that actually gives you a career.
So good. Okay, we're running out of time. We're like 25 past and you guys have fab answers to everything. Just quickly, we did do the poll and literally everyone except for like one person was happy to keep doing the job that they're like working for themselves. So that's amazing. That's so great, even with all the challenges and craziness that comes at working for yourself. All right, 10:24. My question to you is trying to keep it as like reined in as possible with your answers. How do you retain clients?
Who wants to start? Do you want me to?
Sarah, go.
Okay. For me, the most important aspect of the business and retaining the clients that I have, and a lot of my clients I've either been seeing for 10 years or some of them for 25 years, is knowing who your target market is and really knowing who your client is and offering a really niche aspect to that. Because I think that we work very, very closely with our clients, and the more understanding that you actually have of them, the more you'll actually retain them. And not being worried about what the person is doing next door, actually worried about what you're doing and how you're looking after them. And ultimately, and I think Sharon and I, we're from the same area in Beecroft, is that for both of us, we would definitely say that niche aspect is really key to growing a successful business. Wouldn't you agree, Sharon?
I couldn't agree more, Sarah. And I think that we're very lucky to be in the area where we were, because I think there's a massive amount of loyalty amongst those women. They're proud. They love to be able to say, I go to Sarah or I go to the Art of Hair. And they look, I think the biggest thing is that we were always big on rebooking, customer rebookings, and with the nod that when you come back, this is what we're going to be doing. So with a promise as well, I think not just saying, oh, I need to see you, but why should I come back? I think giving them that reason to come back and, you know, having great documentation of what we're doing next with a plan, we're rebooking, we're going to see you then, we're going to do this. That really gets people excited and keeps them loyal to you because they're keen for what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I love that. And I do that myself. For me, it's consultation. I think that is the point of difference for my particular business and the time that I spend. How about yourself, Gay? How do you keep clients? Yeah.
But for me, it's consultation, it's customer care. It's just good old service, good service, and making sure that that you deliver what they want. You know, you deliver results and you do it in the time frames that you actually, you know, rebooking is really important, but you get the rebooking from customer care.
Yeah.
Customer service. So providing a service that is going to give them results. You know, I've got three clients I've had for 30 years and they keep following me. They haven't always had me because I haven't always been on the floor, but they come because they know we're going to give them that service.
That's amazing. How about yourself, Tamara?
Yeah, look, my answer is just simple. Ask your clients to come back. And as Gay said, if you provide an exceptional service, they will come back. But I have had so many treatments, and I think I write this in every single mystery shot we do every single month. Therapists do not ask people to come back, and I don't know why. If you have had an incredible service and you say, would you like to come back? I suggest you come back. Let's come back at this time. Whatever that script sounds like for you in your words, the client will say yes. But when you leave it up to the client and say, oh, I'd love to see you again in, or just not even say anything at all, then the client's not going to proactively make that booking. So ask the client, suggest the client comes back, and they will come back.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I just say one thing on that with what Lara just said? Even I think if you've done either a consultation or a treatment and maybe they haven't rebooked, then, or you haven't asked them, then just saying to the client, well, how about we schedule you for 4 weeks and we'll just go through your program again with you, or we'll do a follow-up from the treatment that you had. So I think just that little, you know, putting that little bit of fishing line out there just to say, okay, I want to see you in 4 weeks, even if it is just for a follow-up consultation, is really, really important, because then they know that you've got a program and a plan for them.
Yeah, I guess the theory is don't be afraid to do that. You're not overselling, you're not harassing.
Yeah.
People want to know, and most people generally want to spend money. They want to buy the skincare, they want to come back and see you. And like I always say to my clients, I want to see you again. I can't wait to hear about that story you just told me. But guys, it's 10:29. There's a lovely girl, Eve, has left a message to say she found this super inspirational. Eve, you rock. Thanks so much for the comment. If you want to follow any of these ladies, you can go to all the social media accounts. They are all there. And these guys have been the best. Thank you so much. And yeah, I guess just another round of applause.
Well, that wraps up the Women in Leadership panel conversation for today. I hope you took some valuable lessons and tidbits from the session. While this session was hosted online, Beauty Expo Australia is back with their in-person events for 2021 later on during the year across the 28th and 29th of August at the ICC in Sydney, with all of the details available on their website, beautyexpoaustralia.com.au, and I cannot wait to see you there and give you all a big squishy in-person hug. Until next time, stay connected.